I think that's one of the overlooked benefits, or what we're calling joys, of having multiple streams of income, is being able to respect the mood that you're in, or whatever sort of phase you are in your life or your month or your year, and align your energy levels and your work with that timing, so that you're always working on things and you have the benefit of working on things when you're at your best.
I think my favorite joy associated with multiple streams of income is the joy of being lazy. It's funny because I remember before the pandemic, when we were just starting to write our book, this must have been early 2020, we floated this idea to our editor that your financial plan should be designed for the laziest version of you.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was met with crickets and a less than enthusiastic reaction because it's like so counterintuitive. Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Julian. Today, we're talking about the joy of having multiple streams of income.
Yes, the joy of having multiple anything.
Wow.
I was not going there.
Wow. Let's just start over.
In all seriousness, this is timely because I think that, you know, chasing jobs that offered high salaries kind of used to be the gold standard. But now that the job market is more unstable, if you will, more people are like realizing that having a diverse set of income sources means that you can kind of mix and match how you want to get paid. And that's actually a little more fun than just like looking forward to the same paycheck every week or every other week.
Yeah, it's a big, big topic of conversation in recent years, especially because of the pandemic. As of the time of this recording, we're still technically in a pandemic. Cases of the COVID-19 variant are rising in some places more than others throughout the country. But I think that for most people, I think they kind of thought that this whole thing would be over by now, that we would have reverted back to normal. But I think it's fair to say, to your point, that there's still a lot of hesitance in hiring and definitely in workplaces. And because of this, a lot of people are pivoting for good. It's not just something that I was dabbling in because I didn't have a choice. I think they're realizing that this might be the new normal. Obviously, that term has been overused at this point.
I know, because now the new normal is like anything but. Like, it's what does that even mean anymore?
Yeah. But I do think that in terms of having multiple streams, whatever you want to call it, multiple streams, multiple sources, I think more people than ever before are really leaning into that. It's not just something that, let's say, the wealthy do. It's something that everyday people are looking at trying to employ out of necessity.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously self-employed, but when I think about the way that we earn income today, from ad revenue to brand partnerships and speaking, affiliate, et cetera, I just think about the early days of our business planning way back in like 2016, 2017. All we had was like a dollar and a dream, and we had this business plan and this strategy that was maybe like 3 pages long, maybe 5, I don't remember, but it mapped out like our 3-year ambition. And where we put most of our brain power was coming up with the revenue model. Like, that was really important to us. And we knew that we wanted a business that had like several levers to pull for income.
Yep.
And as we've gone through the years, we've started to build bridges between those levers. So like, when you know, pull one, the other ones kind of grow at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really interesting. I, every now and then, take a second to look back at that business plan.
I know. It's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. And I don't know that I would call it a business plan. I think it's somewhere between a business plan and like back of the napkin sort of ambition.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. It's a pretty light, it's the overview.
I mean, but it was a big ambition. And do you remember what our year one revenue goal was?
No.
It was $10,000.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. We had this huge ambition.
I've been
ambition.
Obsessed with the term, with not the term, but I've been obsessed with $10,000 for a long time right now. And that's for a reason. I think we'll get into that a little later on. But to your point, yes, it was a really good plan or overview. I'm still proud of it. I still refer to it every now and then. I would say it was about 70.
In an artwork or a frame or something.
Yeah, it's not that pretty, but yeah, I'd say it's about 70% accurate, which I would say I'm pretty pleased with. You know, it was our sort of 5-year kind of, this is where we'll be, this is what life will look like. And, you know, some things happened far quicker than I thought. Other things just absolutely never happened. But even with those things that didn't happen, I'm kind of glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the 70% that came true, and very happy with where we are. Because I think the big thing was that we learned, and I didn't know this coming into it, was that all income doesn't feel the same,
right,
as you're earning it, which is in line with what we wanted to talk about today on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, our year one revenue goal was $10,000. And then for year two, we were planning to double it and make $20,000. And we just planned to keep doubling it every single year. And at that point, we were still working our 9-to-5s. And at the time, we hadn't really thought through a plan of like leaving them to pursue this full time. We weren't trying to make it replace our income in any short amount of time. It was just kind of experiencing the biggest joy of creating those exponential goals, where it's like, you know, when you're salaried, you can't just create goals to be like, I want to double my salary next year and then double it the year after that. You're kind of constrained by market values and, you know, the promotion process at work. And I think that was the first joy for me, was just being able to set income goals and actually try to pursue them on my own versus relying on like a manager.
Yeah, those income goals were in a lot of ways, to your point, shaped by our understanding and where we were at that point in our careers. And so when you would look at where we were as managers and you would look at what directors or what VPs were earning, you could sort of see how much more they might be earning in base salary. And you'd be like, all right, well, is there a way for me to sort of create a backup plan? If I don't get the big job, if I don't get the big promotion, what are some of the other things that I can do to earn that income and have that money coming in passively while still kind of enjoying the benefits of being in a manager position and not having all of these other responsibilities. So, yeah, they were really interesting times.
Yeah. So if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you know that we have a new course called Boost Your Income for Life in the Success Achievers All Access community. And in that course, we actually talk about the importance of establishing what we call an income portfolio. And we review the 7 most common streams of income. And I'm bringing this up because one of my favorite quotes from our course is about the term stream and how most people tend to think about like these fast moving bodies of water and this constant and vibrant thing. But like the trickles, they matter. Like it's not just about, you know, these vibrant streams of income. It is a trickle of like, you know, $10,000 a year. So maybe some of it comes in $10 here in 1 month and $700 in another month. But like it all adds up. And I get that like 7 trickles of income doesn't really have the same ring to it. But I just think it's so important that we have this paradigm shift out of like a salaried mindset. Sure, like pursue a salary to cover your basics, but then pursue some trickles to add some flexibility in your life. I just honestly think that like setting the value of your time and your work on an annual basis and then only having that reviewed by like your manager once a year is just such an antiquated process. It's not really how life works. And it's almost as antiquated as like waiting 2 weeks to get your paycheck.
Yeah, my mind is going in a lot of different directions here. And so by now, I think a lot of our listeners know I am the foodie of the two. I used to work as a professional chef. And so I tend to always make food references here. I'm actually not going to do that right now. I'm going to pivot into my third love, which this might be the first time we're actually talking about this. You're probably one of the few people that know this. I am also a huge nature geek. Like I watch a lot of nature films. And so as you were talking about trickles and most people really thinking about what I was envisioning rivers, you know, they're kind of one and the same actually, right? Like depending on the season, depending on where that sort of path or that river takes you throughout sort of following that stream, sometimes it is a trickle, right? But come flood season or come, you know, when the snow melts or something like that, that little stream really can become a really powerful river. So there's your sort of natural wonders parallel to talking about multiple streams of income. But kind of coming back to earning income and money, I think even as a homeowner and as a real estate investor, like if you know that there's a little bit of a trickle coming from your roof, like you don't take that lightly.
No.
Right. So even to your point about it just being a trickle, well, it depends. Trickles can be and grow to become incredibly powerful. And if they're working against you, actually be quite damaging.
Yeah.
Right.
And causes stress.
Absolutely. And so you really want to think about that and not disregard them and say, yeah, well, that's just a little trickle.
Yeah. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago with Safwan Shah, who is the CEO of PayActive. We met him in Oakland and spent some time with his team. But basically, PayActive is a financial technology company. And on the website, they describe themselves like this. They say, "We create products that empower more people to participate in the economy they helped create." Mm. And I just love that mission. Like, I love the way that they are thinking about their company and the products that they build. But their primary product is something called Earned Wage Access. And basically, it helps workers bridge the gap between paychecks by offering them access to their wages between pay periods. So it's not a loan. It's a very small fee, but it's essentially access to your money. You've worked for it. You should be able to get it and use it and add trickles in your life, because we know that we all heard the stats about Americans living paycheck to paycheck, and we know anecdotally how much debt and just late fees and predatory loans exist simply because people haven't gotten paid before that bill is due.
Yep.
So one of the biggest joys of like multiple streams of income for me, particularly streams that come from an idea that you generated or a business that you own, is that you're not tied to this bi-weekly schedule. You can get access to your money whenever you want, and just having that flexibility and pay frequency can really save you a lot of financial stress.
Yeah, and it's an incredibly empowering feeling as well. I think that's something that a lot of people don't quite think about, is the being able to have access to multiple sort of pools or pots of income at any given point in time. Not only solves problems, but it's also like a really great source of pride. It can really help get you going at the middle of a really tough week or the beginning of a really difficult week. Obviously, not having enough kind of forces you to live on credit. It forces you to sort of
borrow
loans,
from
whether it's from a bank, whether it's from someone else, whether it's you mentioned a bunch of other sources which tend to come at really high interest rates. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this has become so normal, to your point about the percentage of people that are living paycheck to paycheck, that we have really just normalized living in debt as if it's a natural phenomenon, like weather.
Right.
I want to quote a quick little stat that we pulled from Career Builder. This is from a 2017 report, and the stat states that nearly 4 out of 5 people, so roughly 70% of U.S. workers, are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, I know this is not data that most people who sort of follow money or think mm-hmm. about are, let's say, surprised by. I do think that most people intuitively believe that this is a challenge for people who are low-wage earners.
Right.
And the reality is, we uncovered a data point, I believe it was from a report from Charles Schwab, that's that around 40% of people who are earning $100,000 or more mm-hmm. are also living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so this is not something that is just isolated to low-wage earners. It's affecting people who are earning significant amounts of money as well. They're still unable to create a bit of a cash cushion, which some people call an emergency fund. And that's critical, because when you're able, or when you're at a certain point in your life where you need to change jobs mm-hmm. or even careers, the person who can go several months without a paycheck, they just have different options
yes.
available to them. They've got a huge advantage over the person who can't, right? And so the other option, of course, when you don't have to be too concerned about pulling money from a pot or a source, whether it be an emergency fund or wherever else it is just having another source of income, something else or some other button that you can push that creates money to help you fill the gap when you need it.
Yeah, it's so true. And before we move on, if you want to give your empathy muscle a good workout, Safwan has a TEDx talk called The Surprising Link Between Payroll Systems and Financial Stress, where he just kind of walks through what these antiquated systems do for people's mental health. It's a 13-minute gem. Highly, highly recommend it, and I'll link it in the show notes. But going back to your point about job hunting and people who can afford to go, you know, several weeks or several months without a job versus people who can't, I think that's another joy of having multiple sources of income. You can pick and choose who you want to earn your income from.
Yes.
And, you know, as an entrepreneur, that means the ability to pick clients that align with our creative and our professional goals. But to your point, if I were traditionally employed, it would mean being very picky about the company that I work for. You know, if I could afford to wait, I would pursue companies that have modern total compensation packages that include soft benefits like opportunities for personal development, but also like hard benefits, like strong policies around time off, you know, whether it's for maternity leave or bereavement or just mental health sabbaticals. I would treat it like dating. I would be very, very specific and picky.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I know a lot of people, dare I say most people, who go into jobs thinking that it's going to be a dream job. I used to be one of those people. Mm-hmm. I've said it several times. This is a dream job. This is something that I could only ever imagined. And then 6 months later, you kind of end up disappointed and you're looking for something else. And so right. You bounce around and maybe you find another company or another department and you have the same sort of high expectations. And then maybe 9 months down the line, mm-hmm. or maybe even sooner, you kind of end up in the same situation. It's just sort of a different form of disappointment. And one of the benefits of having multiple streams of income is you also have the flexibility to pick your work based on where you may be at certain parts yes. of the month, the year, yes. or your life. And so even for us, I think you were alluding to this, there are times of the year where I don't really feel like recording a podcast.
What?
You know, no offense, but there are times of the day where I just don't really feel like talking.
Right.
There are other times of the day or the year or the month where I don't want to write, mm-hmm. or times where I'm feeling wildly creative, but I can't because I'm committed to doing something else. Right. When you've got multiple streams, like, you can sort of manage your own moods a little yes. bit better. And there's a compounding effect, because when you've aligned being able to do work at a time and a place where you're able to do that and you feel really, really good about it, what happens? The output of the work that you're doing is that much better.
Yes.
Your clients are happier, you're happy, and the people that are sort of consuming that product, if you're, you know, sort of selling it or whatever it is, it's just better. Mm-hmm. And that puts you in a position to earn more income, maybe even raise your rates. And
it's
so
crazy.
It is. I know, and it sounds, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, it feels like I'm quoting a line from like The Secret or reading.
Yeah,
like,
it's a little woo-woo, but it's true.
But it's very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's one of the overlooked benefits, or what we're calling joys, of having multiple streams of income, is being able to respect the mood that you're in, or wherever sort of phase you are in your life or your month or your year, and align your energy levels and your work with that timing, so that you're always working on things and you have the benefit of working on things when you're at your best.
Yes. All right. You ready for a quick pop quiz?
No.
Well, that's the point. They're pop quizzes because you ain't supposed to be ready. You're supposed to stay ready. Then you ain't got to get ready.
Okay.
Can you name the 7 forms of income that we covered in our course?
Yeah.
And do you have a favorite?
I can name them. Earned income, yep. so like active income, which is what most people do. You go to work, you get a wage or a salary. Second is profit from a business that you own. Mm-hmm. Third would be dividend income from a stock yes. or a fund that you own. Interest income. Yes. I remember trying to come up with like an acronym and I couldn't do it. That's why I'm stuttering. Interest income. How many is that? 4?
That's 4.
Rent from a property, like a rental mm-hmm. property. Capital gains when you sell
yes.
or just sort of earn from stocks that you own. And mm-hmm. there's royalty. I always forget about royalty because it's like something that feels like unique. I automatically think like musician. Or
yeah, I know. I'm
like
trying
that.
To break that habit, because you can earn royalty income from a number of things these days.
Correct.
It's
I'm
not
now
just
thinking
like
of
songs.
Mr. Fantastic and yeah. you know the Shark Tank. So yes, there are other ways for you to earn royalty income as well, and we'll be in that position too. Which is another reason why it's not top of mind yet, because our book isn't literally on shelves, but as soon to be published authors. years with an agreement with a large publishing house, that is a part of that process. You do receive royalty income for the foreseeable future, so long as your book is selling.
Awesome. Great job. You did. You named all seven of them.
What do I win? I'm quoting my son.
You win a quick break.
Oh, good.
for a message from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back.
I prefer money, but okay.
All right, so we're back, and we have talked about, let's recap the list. We've talked about the joy of being able to mix and match how you get paid, the joy of the trickles, which, you know.
Oh, that's, still, yeah, you made it sound like a,
a little creepy.
Sounds like an illness.
I know.
Ooh, you got a bad case of the trickles.
Bad case of the trickles. The joy of exponential goal setting, the joy of being able to be picky. Am I leaving out things? We talked about a lot of joy on this episode.
I love that.
Oh, last but not least, the joy of being able to take time off and walk away, you know, all together if that's what you want. But I think my favorite joy associated with multiple streams of income is the joy of being lazy.
That sounds right.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember before the pandemic when we were just starting to write our book, this must have been early 2020, we floated this idea to our editor that your financial plan should be designed for the laziest version of you.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was met with crickets and a less than enthusiastic reaction from because it's like so counterintuitive, you know, like back then saying that it was okay to be tired and that you should actually like plan for that and make your financial plan be supporting a tired you was a really profound statement because there was this pathology around like, who am I to complain about being tired? And we were always just like human, like you're a human. And I still think that, you know, not recognizing that one, it's okay to be tired and two, that you're gonna get tired is like the biggest flaw in the way that people manage their careers. And subsequently, like it stops them from pursuing income outside of traditional work.
Yeah, I'm not just thinking about you as you talk about this, but I know several people who are really kind of leaning into the idea of embracing laziness.
Yes.
Right?
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with that, which makes me think of this book because one of our friends actually read it and she felt very validated. It's a book called Laziness Does Not Exist. It's by Dr. Devon Price. It is a very, very powerful book where they sort of tackle that subject from a very academic point of view and they kind of break down all of the sort of stigma with that term and help you become a little bit more comfortable with the idea of rest and sort of recharging and embracing the power in that as opposed to treating it as if it's, a problem or something that you really shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But when I think about that against sort of the norm, right, the standard social norms, there's such a huge oversight because most people really kind of strictly rely on active and earned income, which means all they ever really know how to do is to exchange time and energy for money. Yet they don't factor in the inherent limit to that approach. Like there's only so much time that you have, and eventually, to your earlier point, you will get tired.
Yes.
We all do, which means your work will suffer, and it means that you won't be able to support yourself if that's your only source of earning. And it's the idea that underpins a lot of the financial independence movement, where you're converting the funds that you've earned from active income into things like stocks, real estate, and businesses. Two out of the three, all of the three, however you want to do it, so that your money that you've worked for can be converted into these other means and then work to create income on your behalf.
Right.
Because you will get tired, because you will get older, because you will feel lazy sometimes and you're actually entitled to doing that. And it also makes me think back years ago. I remember when we used to check our stock portfolio and our net worth obsessively. It was like a daily thing. We were like just totally geeking out about it. We are far, dare I say, lazier in that approach today because we have the benefit of being able to be lazy.
Yeah, we've done enough reps.
We've done enough reps.
We know it's going to go up and down.
Exactly. Like it's like watching paint dry, really, at this point. but again, I realize that that is a very arguably elitist thing. You have the privilege of being able to ignore it, but that's something that we've earned over time. But I remember those days, and I remember, you know, specifically those days, going back to that number, I'm telling you, where we would have $10,000 gains in a mm-hmm. single day. Now, that's not to say that we haven't experienced significantly losses. Larger or right in both directions. But
right.
I just remember, and I've always really just focused on those $10,000 days, because I remember what I used to have to go through to get yes. $10,000 at a job. That yes. was such a huge deal.
Huge.
I remember writing out entire personal development plans and going mm-hmm. to conferences and getting certifications and taking people to lunch and doing all of those things so that I could be on a short list that hopefully gets greenlit and approved for me to get another job.
Yeah.
And when I think about all of that work, and I think about all of the days where I didn't have to lift a finger to do the exact same thing, I find a lot more joy in those lazy days.
Yeah.
Like, big surprise there. I am far more happy or joyful when I see a property value go up or mm-hmm. sales in something sell without me actually having to get up and go somewhere or do anything. And so it kind of speaks to not just the power of passive income, but also the power of having multiple streams of income. When
yes.
you only have one, you may not get that feeling that often.
Right, right. Yes, I feel like we should just end on that note. Like, but in all seriousness, like we're definitely in unprecedented times, but the cold truth is, like, the reason why you're so tired right now is because you were tired before this, right? And you're going to be tired after this. You are going to be tired. If you're listening to this right now, you're going to be tired. When I dropped Bo off at daycare this morning, one of the teachers there had a shirt and it just had two words on it. It was a black shirt, two words in white, and it just said 100% tired. And I was like, I feel you. Like, you're going to be tired. And so when you think about your finances, there are things that you can do to prepare for that moment. You can build a budget with the purpose of income in mind. And if you don't know what the purpose of income is, you can check our July webinar replay or episode 17, where we talk about it. You can start to reduce your expenses and, like, really reduce them. Go through that work. Look at your hobbies.
Yep.
If you haven't heard that episode, episode 10, look at them expensive hobbies and figure out, you know, are there ways that we can kind of turn this down a little bit? And then last, you can open up a brokerage account, baby. Like, if you haven't listened to episode 16, go listen right now, because opening a brokerage account is a really important step. Investing is one of those things that's so intertwined with the idea of employment. But to Julian's point, your path to financial independence starts with generating income outside of anything that's tied to your employer. That's the independence part. You're not dependent on an employer for income. So that includes their 401k plans. Participate in theirs, but go get your own as well through a brokerage.
I love it.
That's all I got. Closing thoughts?
Oh, was that your closing thought?
No. I mean, I do have a closing thought, but that could be it too.
You told me the last one I just mentioned was my closing thought.
But oh.
We can do a wrap up.
Do you have another one?
I'm filled with closing thoughts. I'm a walking closing thought.
My closing thought is the key to financial freedom or whatever your financial goal is not going to be this rigid, set it and forget it financial plan. It's really about your ability to adapt and change and increase the speed at which you're solving your problems. And all of the data suggests that wages are a problem. Despite there being plenty of capital available in the world, for decades, there's just been this default mode to keep finding better jobs. And that's a solution, but at some point, we got to focus on the problem, which is wages. Most people just simply don't get paid enough. And if you're listening to this and you're a high earner who makes more than enough money, it's kind of naive to think that the majority of Americans can be underpaid and it won't affect you or the markets that you're invested in.
Right.
History teaches us what happens when the majority of people are underpaid and struggling in a culture. So anyway, the problems that are associated with work as we know it are changing all the time. And saying them out loud, like saying wages is a problem, is very difficult because it's not really rewarded. People are not wanting to hear that they're underpaid. But you really have to flip that. You have to define your problem and how it's affecting you, and then go find some joy in them trickles. Like, that's the solution. You'll find the joy in the trickles.
Yeah, I'm going to get that t-shirt made for you.
Yes, I've come down with a case of the trickles.
A great case.
But it's a positive thing.
Okay.
You're going to put that in fine print. Because people will be like, oh no. And it's like, no, it's actually good.
I love it. My closing thought is that I do not want to contribute to the hype beasts around having multiple streams of income. Because one of the things that I've seen is that this idea of having multiple streams is not only just popular these days, but very much misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. And so there's a stat around the average millionaire has 7 streams of income. And I think that's where a lot of this analysis sort of starts from. You do not have to have 7 streams of income.
You can have,
right. The point is really just to make sure that you don't just rely on earned income. The other 6 are readily available to you. Let's start with the last one that we mentioned, which is the one that we tend to always forget, royalty income. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a big fancy book deal to get royalty income. You could launch an ebook, have several ebooks. You can self-publish. You can do all kinds of things. You can create music. We know people who are literally musicians and sell their music. And so there are other ways to do that. It's really just about leveraging your total set of talents, finding platforms, finding resources, and using those things to help monetize your full potential with the goal of creating and having multiple streams of income that you have complete control over. If you are one of the tried and true lazy people, you've got a good job, you do not consider yourself to be an entrepreneur, great. Max out that 401k, max out your IRA. To Kirsten's point, open up that brokerage account, fund as much as you can. There is no max to that one. By doing that, you are also creating dividend income, assuming you're buying stocks that issue dividends. You're earning interest income because all of those investments are compounding over time. Yes, they will go down some months, some years, but over time, historically, we know that the stock market is a huge wealth generation machine. So that's ultimately what we want people to take away from this. This is about empowering yourself. This is about breaking out of the standard norm and just relying on a single stream or trickle, whatever it is. There are multiple streams out there. Let's go get it.
I love it. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If you liked what you heard, please go to the ratings and reviews page and leave us multiple stars. 5 to be exact.
Oh, I thought you were going to play a trickle card there.
But I was going to, but I couldn't.
You couldn't, yeah.
Nothing came off the dome that would have been appropriate.
I'm proud of you. You kept it simple. That's really cool.
Multiple stars.
Multiple stars. Thank you.
We'll see y'all next week. I always say see y'all next week. You'll hear us next week. We'll hear, we'll be talking to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.